Hey, everybody. This is an outrageous idea. It's 9 minutes to 2 a.m. And I'm putting this out there. 8/26/2023. Here's the situation. I just had one of those moments. I hate these moments when they happen. But I want to tune into something here. I want to tune into the truth of what I want to say to you, which is this. When I have moments of revelation about this podcast, and specifically, most of my moments tend to be more like the Book of Revelations. Ideas that come to me, that I'm not plagiarizing. essentially, I want to jump on the bandwagon of the idea and roll with it. I also love doing these live musings for you. I mean, this is okay. Let me tell you the story. So I'm sitting there. And I have this idea for a ChatGPT bot based around the transcripts of this podcast. And I'm not just going to give you a repository with this bot. I'm going to give you the open loops experience. So that's one of the things I'm working on. Curious if that's something that'll resonate with you. First of all, you kind of have to make these bots yourself because OpenAI and ChatGPT, they do not like conspiracy content. They don't like this content. And according to my numbers, if you're on the Ghana app out there, everybody listening on Ghana, you like this content. I'm so glad you do, but not everybody on Spotify is listening to Open Loops. So if you're one of the rare Spotify listeners, I salute you, I honor you, me and Mr. Rogan are blowing kisses at you. What I wanted to say is this: truly, 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 I had this moment where I was listening to the first episode of this show, and it's funny because, you know, it reminds me of that movie The Menu. There are other moments in movies where this happens, I almost think of even Succession, where the last, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but there is a moment where all the kids are gathered around and looking at a video clip of their father from just him being him not being the business tycoon that Logan Roy is, just him being this and being emotional because that was a different side of him that they saw. This is not actually that situation, though I suppose it is related because definitely after having started this show in 2020, this has become more business than pleasure at times. And I don't like that. I don't like that because that was the original point of this. And I also know, to like go even more meta on the meta, that I sometimes come on when I do speak to you, I'm always like, hey guys, it's Greg. I'm not fully happy with what the show is. And if you're still listening, or if it's the episode after the tripping mushrooms, welcome to this auditory trip right now. I suppose what I would say is that I had a moment, I had the moment, and I haven't even finished, and this is how bad I've recently been diagnosed with symptoms, not diagnosed, but told that I exhibit symptoms of ADHD. Now, longtime listeners are probably like, you didn't know? That's so sad. But I do have obsessive compulsive disorder. I've talked about that before too. Look at me being all vulnerable. My gosh, it's like a Radiolab NPR. What I was gonna say is this. I started listening to the first episode, Opening the Loops. Haven't completed it, because I don't think I've earned that yet in a way, you know? It's 2020. It's not that long ago. I mean, it's been almost maybe 2.5 years I've had this podcast now, but close to that at least. But as I started to re-listen, I remembered that this was originally about self-expression. It's about filtering what I'm learning about, because no matter what, the world that I live in isn't separate from the intellectual concepts and mind-blowing fields of knowledge that I love talking about. I mean, some people think of me as the conspiracy guy, and to me, it's the act of conspiracizing, the experience that you get reading the conspiracy, is what this is about, not even the conspiracy itself. So knowing, getting more knowledge about it. I mean, I don't think I've ever been able to fully articulate this, but I think the idea is this. When you hear about things going awry, natural disasters happening in desert remote areas, let's talk Maui for a second. So there's a lot of conspiracies about Maui, right? There's a lot. And let's see if this doesn't kickstart me into being kicked off of... Someone's just going to kick this microphone away from me one day. So still not on Instagram, by the way. If you want to report it, at the Greg Bornstein. He deserves to be on there. He deserved to be on there. This Maui thing, people are saying, why didn't Oprah's house get burned? Why didn't, I think The Rock is probably there, but like, as I say that, you know, for those of you in the audience that are like, no, of course he's there, because Moana, that's Polynesian, okay? Very different thing. And how do I know? Because, I've been around ignorant people that made that mistake too. The point is this. This is a very loopy episode already. That's part of the point. The point is this, though. That's not professional accidentally flicking the microphone. Oh, gosh. Okay. This is kind of like the first episode. Now listening back, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess I'm okay with messing up and having things be imperfect, because that's what this was and is and continues to be. I suppose the idea is this. There are people out there that suggest the rich people are not impacted by Maui. That's what's going on. There are people out there suggesting this, which means maybe there is and the locals, the people that aren't doing as well, the people whose lives are upended, the fires got them, but why not the houses? Why not the very nice houses? Now, on one level, you know, the skeptic in me goes, well, that's because they're in areas that are safer from that happening in general, because they can afford to be. That's called socioeconomic injustice. There's no, there doesn't even need to be a magic trick. There's no directed energy weapon that's zapping these things. It's just that the rich, they're able to survive more because they won the game of capitalism. And I guess that's not even a conspiracy. I mean, one might argue that capitalism is a conspiracy. That's funny. As I said that, I'm like, oh, that's another thing I just talked about in the first episode. Really, we've been in the same loop. This is a time loop. If you're listening to this episode and episode one, it's all part of the same world. You're already in the time loop. Further proof of the Matrix. The point is this. Beyond the scientific explanation, the idea that there's more evidence being brought forth, or there are more factoids to consider to build the argument of this already arcane series of disparate thoughts that you're piecing together and calling a theory that can't actually ever be tested. And truly, there's not evidence. It's just kind of this mishmash of continued findings. The cognitive experience that I get as I examine new evidence isn't necessarily that of the anger piece. Because to me, that's almost the least interesting part of conspiracy theories, the people that actually believe them. What's more interesting is the people that are able to build the case for them because of that fun intellectual exercise, or I don't even know if it's an exercise. Maybe it's just appealing to the pleasure centers of the paranoid brain or the pattern-seeking brain that's not really actually going for patterns that build up to anything. It's just these kind of fraudulent equations of, well, because this happened, this could mean this. It's so speculative. It's speculative, but there's joy in it. That's intellectual escapism. Or is it escapist intellectualism? I had to do that. I had to. It's definitely, I think it's a little bit of both. That said, that's why I love entertaining these kind of things, and I enjoy exploring that on the show. But my gosh, sometimes I just want to talk about creation of content. Sometimes I just want to talk about the experience of me having a premature experience of listening to myself from 2.5 years ago and thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, you miss that guy. Oh, I miss that guy so much. Well, he misses you, because that was the original spirit of this. This was Greg in a microphone. And you know what? What if this is truly just my opportunity to express? You know, I've been so concerned about talking to you all. And I'll say all of you as if this is the committee. I'm Ghana, everybody on the Ghana app, I'm talking to you. I've been so concerned with talking to you about stuff that isn't coherent or doesn't add value to your life, or you know, isn't exactly an interview with a ghost hunter, someone esoteric. I mean, that's the thing. Originally, I wanted Open Loops to just kind of be my unconscious. I wanted it to be a place of fun. I wanted there to be an opportunity for just as much entertainment on the show as there is for a mind-blowing alternative interview. And I do think it's lost that in some ways. I mean, I have said this before, but I suppose when you're creating something, you can lose track of even what you've built. It begins to take on other stuff. So as I speak to you now, I'm starting to wonder, is there room for this show to have these kind of surprise interjections between the interviews? Or is that not what the show wants to be? And then as I was thinking that, I went, wait a second, Greg, the show's called Open Loops. The show's called Open Loops, which means that you're talking about talking. You're talking about overthinking. You're talking about the very things that get expressed that draw people to want to do more or unpack more. Does that ever stop for you, Greg? Does the internal chatter ever stop? And if it doesn't, what is the harm and the journaling-like format of expressing that to you with the pressure of being entertaining? Yes, it is. There's a red clown nose on me right now. That's I'm a desperate man. for your engagement. There's not. There's really not. I think this red spot's just allergies. But yes, the point is. I always say that. The point is, another great name for a Greg Bornstein podcast, or Here's the Deal. I wanted to create that talk show a few years ago. The point is this. What if there was value if you felt you needed to speak things out? If you felt that you wanted to articulate your inner world, then what if that's valuable in and of itself? What if that thing you want to write is, you could share it with people, but most people don't. So a lot of people share their journals. A lot of people think that crap is interesting to others. And this is the crap that I think might be interesting to you. I'm not sure, but I'm starting to realize, wow, if I want to talk to you about Larry Gray, the Dizzy Wizard, the old vaudeville performer that did impressions of Jimmy Durante and W.C. Fields, and who I learned committed suicide in his early 50s because he thought his career was over. Like, if I want to talk to you about that, I can do that in an episode and call that an episode, and it can be 5 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to cover Larry anymore, because I think I just did. But the point is, every day we're thinking new thoughts. Every day I don't express them. So guess what? You might get that expression. And if you are just like, hey, no, bring me back to paranormal content. Well, that's not what I do. It's not what I do. I overthink. I over-intellectualize. I speak my inner thoughts. And guess what? No one's paying me for it, so what does it matter? All right. On that note, we'll talk soon, but I hope you enjoyed this journey, and I hope all the people of Maui stay safe, except the A-listers. But I guess I hope they stay safe too, because, except them, because guess what? They are the exception, man. Oh gosh, maybe I do believe some of this conspiracy stuff. Either way, look, you're in the loop. We're in the loop. Let's keep looping. You are a chief looper for listening. I love you dearly. Talk soon.